Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank God. We are walking with the King. Amen. How could you beat that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer right now as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again. Oh, Lord, for the unspeakable joy that You give to our soul, Lord. Oh, God, we just thank You for Your mercy, Your kindnesses. Oh, Lord, Your long-suffering. Oh, Lord Jesus, that which You've extended to us, Lord. Oh, God, the door that You've made open unto us, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I thank You, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You talk to us tonight. I pray, oh, Lord, that You'd minister to us tonight. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that Your will would be done, Lord. Oh, God, You know the need in these last days. Oh, God, in this last hour, Lord, You know the need, oh, God. And I pray, oh, God, that You would speak here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that there would be responses in the hearts of Your people, Lord. I pray that You would talk, oh, Lord. I pray that You would bind the strong man, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that he would have no place, God. I pray that You give us one mind and one accord, Lord Jesus, as we bring forth Your word. Oh, God, let it come forth, oh, Jesus, with Thy anointing, with Thy power, Lord, the authority that You give us as Your children. Oh, Lord, we need You, Jesus. I ask that You work in Your precious name. I pray that You would pour out of Your Spirit. Oh, God, You said, now, oh, Lord, that You'd pour it out upon all flesh. And here we are, Lord. We're in dire need, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You'd speak to every heart. I pray that You would move every mountain. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that, oh, God, You would give us faith to believe You, Lord, to stand on Thy promises and to go forward. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let Your word come forth with boldness. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, let the devil be rebuked. And, oh, God, we just come to Thee in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, thanking You, Lord, for You have all authority and power. Oh, God, there is nothing too hard for You, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, we'll be opening up our Bibles here tonight. I do believe with the Lord's help, and going to go to diverse places, but we're going to call this the promise of the Holy Ghost. And I know I have spoken many, many times about the gift of the Holy Ghost. And yet, oh, yes, there is still need. Oh, there is still many who need to yet receive the promise from the Father, that promise that He made available to all those that would reach out in faith and claim it. Praise the Lord and receive it in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter here to begin. Just catch a verse here. And I must say, you know, this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost that the Lord has for His people is often not very popular. It's, you know, not often just something that people really want to grasp at times. And some people look at it one way or the other. But, you know, let's look at the Word of God here to see what it will tell us here tonight. Here in Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 16. Let's read this here. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Praise the Lord. And you know, there were going to be consequences because they did not hearken. But let's go on to Isaiah here now, the 28th chapter. Let's read some of these verses here. Isaiah chapter 28. It says in verse 5, "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people." And here, this is a very positive statement here, in contrast to the first verses in this chapter, where it's talking about the crown of pride and the drunkards of Ephraim and those that were mighty and those, obviously, that were going to be destroyed because of the very contrary spirits. But here in verse 5, he's talking about those, the residue of his people, his remnant, those that would hear the good news and give their hearts to the Lord, that to them in that day. And you know, I notice when it says "in that day" in the scripture, it's referring to that time when Jesus would come on the scene. And then, oh yes, to that day when it would be fulfilled that he would pour out of his spirit and bring forth the new covenant. But for those that, you know, were going to believe and have faith and embrace the plan of God, it was going to be like a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty, as the plan of God, the new covenant that he was going to bring forth unto the residue of his people. And it says, going beyond this in verse 6, "and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate." Oh, praise the Lord. And I believe in reading this over and you know, considering this, to them, a strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Praise the Lord. I believe this is talking about resistance. You know, when the enemy's at the door, do we want to let him in? Or do we shut the door? Do we shut the gate? Do we lock it firmly so that they cannot enter? Do we make it impossible? Do we resist? And praise the Lord, God's people are going to be opposed. We are going to have enemies. We're not going to be popular in this world. But praise the Lord, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is going to be a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Praise the Lord. They shut that gate so the enemy cannot enter in. Praise the Lord. So that he must withdraw. And praise the Lord, we are told to resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's talking about those that don't have that kind of strength. Verse 7, it says, "But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up in wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment." And how sad it is when those that should be leading the people spiritually have no discernment, when these, the priest and the prophet, are not filled with the Spirit of God, in other words, and they have no way of knowing what is right and wrong. In fact, they're leading the people in error. And you know, they don't know anymore because they're so full of carnality and the ways of the world and all of that, that you know, they have erred through strong drink. In other words, a drunkard doesn't have discernment. A drunkard's not going to know what he's doing fully at all. He's going to do dumb things, awful things at times, because he's given his heart over to the spirit of alcohol. But then this is talking about beyond that, and of course, that spirit is included in this. But all those that have embraced another gospel, those that are standing up there in the pulpit and declaring something that is not God's word, even standing there and not even knowing God and still trying to lead a people, Oh, of course, yes. The blind, they're all going to fall into the ditch. So it talks about them as they err in vision and they stumble in judgment. Oh, no discernment, no way to lead the people in the way that is right, in the ways of the Lord. And then it says in verse 8, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Oh, this describes a very disgusting environment indeed. You know, a situation, oh, that is so filthy and so, oh, hard to bear. I'm sure so full of an awful vomit and smell and you know, filthiness. You know, and there wouldn't even be a clean spot to sit down in such an environment. I'm afraid that this world is much like that. Oh, yes, it just seems that the departure from the truth is very strong at this point. And I know we're living in that time where many try to find the way. And it doesn't seem like it's there. They listen to that evangelist. And that, you know, television speaker and, you know, get more confused. But praise the Lord does have a way. And in spite of all the things that are going on in this world at this very moment, God still has a people. And oh yes, God hasn't changed. Praise the Lord. And He still knows how to lead us out of the filth of this world. Oh yes, all of the disgusting things, oh, that this world offers. He knows how to talk to our hearts, how to get our attention, how to lead us out of that way of life and bring us to the new. Praise the Lord. Bring us to His ways. Oh yes. So there's a question asked here in verse 9. Whom shall He teach knowledge? And whom shall He make to understand doctrine? You know, I can imagine even for God to see people just floundering around and, you know, also full of confusion and going here and there trying to find the way. And, oh, it's not here, it's not there. And reading this book and that book and this report and that report and still not able to find it. Oh, how hard, how frustrating. So the question, whom shall He teach knowledge? Oh, the knowledge of His word. And whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Oh, the principles that are established in the word of God. It answers by saying them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And I believe this phrase here is describing some growth, some maturity, people that can see beyond the normal in many regards, and you know, have looked toward the Lord and have eyes that are opened and ears that can hear. And then He tells us in verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Here, I believe we're talking about God's order, His very preciseness, and we know, oh yes, that God had a plan. You know, He always has a plan. He still has a plan. You know, God is on time. God is not late. God knows what He's doing. And He knows all the whys and all the wherefores. And so, yes, His plan, oh, it's laid out in a very orderly fashion, precept upon precept. Oh, the Word of God declared it so. The prophets proclaimed it by the mouth of God. Oh, yes, it came. Oh, yes, came forth as God ordained it to come forth. But, oh, yes, those precepts upon precepts. And then line upon line. Oh, yes, God's order. You know, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. And I thank God Because, oh yes, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Praise the Lord, God's precision, his timing, and all. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Oh, how interesting. We know that as Jesus walked this earth, oh yes, that time came that all this would be fulfilled. Oh yes, when it was all worked out and everything else had been fulfilled. And you know, the precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that time came forth. And yes, God wrote himself in flesh to come to this world. So yes, that plan could be fulfilled. So he could come to this earth to redeem his people from their sins. Praise the Lord. So he could declare the ways of the Lord. And then send forth his Spirit. So, oh yes, he could dwell in our very hearts. Praise the Lord. And you can imagine as he walked this earth. And oh, there in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, how he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, praise the Lord. I know he was referring to this that Isaiah wrote of here in this 28th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, yes, that stammering lip and another tongue with which he would speak to the people and to whom he said, to whom he declared, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Oh, it was declared. Oh, so clearly back to the pages of God's Word, the declarations of the prophet as they spoke as the mouthpiece of the living God. But yet it tells us in that 28th chapter, that 12th verse, yet they would not hear. And Jesus spoke it forth too, as he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh yes, it was the same message. But it isn't that there has always been response. And that rest has been declared, as you know, there in the book of Jeremiah, you know, it talks about a people that refused to go along with that which had been declared by the prophet. And Isaiah, we read it again, yet they would not hear. And I know that there were many that Jesus ministered to when he was on this earth. Oh yes, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own knew him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, praise the Lord, power to become the sons of God. Amen. And is it no wonder that Jesus said before he ascended into heaven, in the Acts, the first chapter, oh yes, actually the words, yes, some of his final words before he ascended. Verse 4 here in Acts chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Oh, he had been speaking of it as he declared the words of life. He had been speaking of it again and again. But here, he's commanding them. He's telling them what they must do. They're not to depart from Jerusalem, but they're to wait. They're to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And of course, they couldn't understand it at that moment. It says in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But verse 8 tells us, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he was telling them clearly, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Praise the Lord. They were referring to a physical power, you know, the restoring of the kingdom to Israel in the natural sense. But Jesus came to bring forth a spiritual kingdom. Oh, my kingdom is not of this world, he told Pilate. If my kingdom were of this world, then should my men fight. But praise the Lord, he came forth to bring forth a kingdom. Oh, yes, that would lead to the everlasting kingdom. Oh, yes, a kingdom where he put his spirit in his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and that they would therefore become witnesses, starting there in Jerusalem, and it would go throughout all Judea, that it would spread unto Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord! I'm so glad. Oh, that glorious gospel message, that power would spread. Praise the Lord! And oh, yes, it would even include the Gentile people. Praise the Lord. So having told them this, tells us in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord, that promise. Oh, yes, that same Jesus would someday return. But oh, yes, before he came back the second time, he was going to return to them in another way. He was going to pour out of his spirit. Oh, yes, he had told them in that 14th chapter of the book of John, that he was going to send forth the Comforter. Oh, yes, the Comforter was going to come. He wasn't going to leave them comfortless. Oh, he knew all along that his work on earth was going to be short-lived, so to speak. 3.5 years is not a very long length of ministry. But that wasn't going to be that. It was going to be over. Because the Lord Jesus was going to put his spirit in his people, in his disciples. He was going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. And his sons and his daughters were going to prophesy. And the young men would see visions, and the old men would dream dreams. Upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, he was going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. He was going to come back as the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And dwell in the hearts of his people. And praise the Lord. He was going to commission his people to go forth and do the works that he had begun. Praise the Lord. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, yes. It was as if he was cut off, as it tells us in Isaiah 53. But not really, because he would send back his Spirit. Oh, the very Spirit that dwelt in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God that dwelt in him, was going to come back and dwell in his people so that the works that he did, we would do also. Praise the Lord. And he said, even greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. Praise the Lord. And he said in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost that he puts within us is not just for a short term. It's just not for the days of our life. But praise the Lord, it's the Spirit of the living God. It's a resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he puts it within us, that he may abide or reside or stay or live in us forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Praise the Lord. And oh, he goes on to say, oh yes, that oh, he's going to ask the Father. Praise the Lord. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Oh, praise the Lord. That means our residence with him, those that keep the words of the living God, those that love the living word of God. "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." Oh yes, if you know it's not in your heart, it goes in one ear and out the other, or you disregard it altogether. You know, you might look at it as a fairy tale. But oh yes, the children of the Lord esteem it highly. The children of the Lord regard it with all their hearts. And oh yes, they keep the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the commands that he declared. "But he that loveth me not," verse 24, "keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." But again, he talks about the Comforter. And here it is in verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord Jesus was reassuring them. But oh, yes, it was all worked out. Oh, yes, he knew that his days on this earth were short, but he was going to come and live in the heart. Praise the Lord. He was going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. The spirit of the departed one. Oh, yes, the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father would send it in his name. And that Holy Ghost would dwell inside the children of the Lord. And teaching them all that they needed to know. Bringing things to their remembrance. Oh, yes, and bringing forth the peace that comes from the Lord, the peace that the world cannot give by any means. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a reason why he could say, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there was much that he was offering them. Oh, he had a plan. He had a purpose in everything he did. And there was a lot, oh yes, that had been done to establish it. But let's just go into a little bit of background here for a minute here. If we go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and look at the very last two verses, it will tell us, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40, and of course, it's referring to those that are mentioned in this wonderful chapter of faith. Brother Samuel is going through it on our behalf there on Sunday mornings. But praise the Lord, those that are recorded in this chapter are people that walked by faith, that lived by faith, that had victory over sin. But yet it tells us in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Praise the Lord, they lived in the time of the old covenant, of the first covenant, and they lived by faith indeed. And they lived in such a way that it pleased God and they gained victory over the trials and the tests of this world. But yet, oh, that promise, the promise of the rest, the promise of the Holy Ghost was not yet available for them at this point. Oh, it wasn't going to come until that time that Jesus had been glorified, as he revealed in the 7th chapter of the book of John. But it was all within God's plan. And he knew the whys and the wherefore. It tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter also, looking at verse 9, 1 Peter, the first chapter, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 10 tells us, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, praise the Lord. Peter is looking back at this point because as he wrote this epistle, of course, the Holy Ghost had then been poured out. And he had been indeed a recipient of it. But praise the Lord, he was talking to a people, oh yes, the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Praise the Lord, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord there as he began to address them. Verses 1 and 2 in this chapter. Praise the Lord. But now he is talking to them. Oh, yes. And he's referring back to that time when the prophets wrote of the rest that would come forth. Oh, the Spirit of the living God that would come forth and minister in a way that they are not yet known. And you know, it is something, because we do know that a holy man of God spoke forth as the Spirit of God came upon them. And they would declare the things, the Spirit of God would come upon them, and they would prophesy. And oh, they would declare the words of life. But yet, the Holy Ghost had not yet fallen, so they were not recipients of it. And can you imagine how it was as they wrote of such wonderful things? But yet, you know, they couldn't understand it. They were writing of things that were not yet revealed. Oh, that had not yet fallen. And, you know, it came to them that, yes, they were writing about that which was to come, and a people that would come forth. Oh, yes, that, would be filled with that gift from on high. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, that which the Lord had proclaimed it would come forth. Praise the Lord. What a thing. But they did not yet know of themselves the glory that would yet fall. Oh, the wonders of the Holy Ghost that would come forth from heaven. And it says, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, praise the Lord. If he has filled us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, then, oh, we have something to marvel at. We have something, oh, yes, to glory in, because, oh, this is something that the prophets desired. Oh, the men and women of old wanted so. But, oh, my, it wasn't for their time. But praise the Lord. There was the time when the Holy Ghost would come forth. Of course, as we read there, Jesus' words there in that first chapter of the book of Acts, that they were to go to Jerusalem and they were to wait for the promise of the Father. Oh, yes, which they had heard of him. Praise the Lord, as he had told them, yes, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And of course we know that it happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, those that followed Jesus, those that were there to watch him go up into heaven, I believe they were the ones that went unto Jerusalem and waited for the promise of the Father, oh, which he had declared. Oh, yes, that 120 approximately that were gathered together there in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Oh, praise the Lord, what a wonder. Praise the Lord, what a joy, what an occasion. Praise the Lord. But before I go into that more specifically, let's look at John, the third chapter. John chapter 3. Here, of course, and this is familiar to us, we know that it tells us in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Tells us in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Praise the Lord. Nicodemus could see a great deal. And of course, he was a ruler of the Jews. And we know that, you know, he's coming in by night. You know, I think, so that he, you know, won't be quite as observable that, you know, he's speaking with Jesus, but, you know, he addresses him, and you know, as a teacher from God, as a rabbi, praise the Lord, and he knows, you know, no man can do these miracles which thou doest, except God be with him. So he had understanding in that sense, and he knew what he had seen and witnessed was of God. But I'll tell you what, I don't think he was quite prepared for Jesus' response. Jesus told him in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Here he is a little more specific, isn't he? And he tells us in verse 6, That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Oh my, there's going to be a separation. Oh yes, we all came into this world born of the flesh, right? Oh yes. But there was need of a second birth. And this is what he's trying to tell Nicodemus. Oh yes, he said in verse 7, Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. See the emphasis here? Oh yes. Verse 3, you know, telling them, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then elaborating a bit more in verse 5, and again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh yes, and so here he's revealing that there's going to be two aspects needed to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, the birth of the water and the birth of the Spirit. Praise the Lord, in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And then, of course, the separation between the flesh and the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I mean, he's not saying you must sort of, kind of, you know, this is a possibility and I would hope for it. But wow, it's very clear here. Except a man be born again. Except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then a little bit more in verse 8. He says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. He's telling Nicodemus that there's going to be a sound that comes forth when you're born again of the water and of the Spirit. That sound of new life, just as in the physical sense, when a child comes into this world, there's a cry. Oh, you know, there's a cry. That little one is going to cry. You know, if that child is alive, there's going to come a cry from its vocal cords, indicating that it has life. That breath, that first breath, as you know, it breathes. That breath that is necessary to live in this world. That physical breath. But praise the Lord, Jesus is comparing the spiritual birth to that need for the breath of the Holy Ghost to come upon us. In the 20th chapter of the book of John, he breathed upon those that were gathered there in that room and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he's indicating at that point that when the Holy Ghost came upon them, as it did on the day of Pentecost, it was going to be the breath of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, the Comforter. Oh yes, that Spirit of life that was going to come and dwell in their very being. So oh yes, they could be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Oh, so they could continue the works that the Lord Jesus had begun. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, even greater works than these shall ye do because I go unto my Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So yes, he's telling Nicodemus, oh yes, the wind blows wheresoever it will, wherever it chooses, the wind blows. And you could hear the sound of the wind. Oh yes, but can you see the wind? You can see the effects of the wind, but do you see the wind? I say not. You can't tell where it's coming and where it's going to go. Praise the Lord, that wind that blows forth. But praise the Lord, the Spirit of the living God is compared, oh, to it likewise to the wind. Oh, praise the Lord, when he comes to dwell in our being. Praise the Lord, there's going to be a sound that comes forth as he comes to dwell in our very being. Oh, yes. Oh, as he speaks through his people, praise the Lord, as he takes our mouths, as he takes our tongue, and as he begins to speak through us, words that we never spoke before, words that we're not going to understand, as the Holy Ghost comes to dwell within our very being. Praise the Lord. And is it a wonder there, in the second chapter of Acts? Oh, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Oh, praise the Lord. The breath of the Lord Jesus was coming in to that place. Praise the Lord. As the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it tells us in verse 3 here in Acts chapter 2. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, split tongues, and it sat upon each of them. And praise the Lord, it says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, the Comforter, came to dwell within their being. Praise the Lord. And they could tell, they could know, because all at once, praise the Lord, as he came and dwelt in their being. Oh, yes. Oh, as stammering lips in another tongue will I speak unto this people, as it tells us in Isaiah 28. Oh, yes, they begin to speak forth in other tongues. Praise the Lord, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Lord God Almighty speaking through their being. Oh, using their tongue, using their mouths. Oh, yes, as the Holy Ghost came to dwell within their very person. Oh, praise the Lord, has it happened to you? Praise the Lord, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, praise the Lord. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The Lord had caused them to speak forth, oh, in tongues, that those that were assembled there, those that were spread abroad, could understand from their native languages. And they were all amazed. Verse 7 here, Acts 2. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and in Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, with stammering lips in another tongue will I speak unto this people. Oh, praise the Lord. There it was, the fulfillment of that which Isaiah had declared. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Oh, what is this? You know, how are they doing this? They realized that these were Galileans. They weren't, you know, from the, you know, the native countries that those that were assembled were from. So they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing this is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Praise the Lord. And here he's going to quote from the second chapter of the book of Joel. "Praise the Lord, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, that promise that, oh, God was going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, your sons, your daughters, they're going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. And, oh, praise the Lord, even on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. Praise the Lord. That was the Holy Ghost he was speaking of. Oh, yes, that was the Holy Ghost that Peter was declaring unto them. Praise the Lord. And he went into other utterances that had, oh, yes, been prophesied in the times before. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, now they were seeing it. Oh, how wonderful it must have been that day. Oh, yes, to realize that these prophetic words were now, oh yes, being realized. And finally that day had come, that the day that the prophets had wondered about, oh, that those words that they had recorded, and yet they understood not, oh yes, that God was going to pour out of his spirit, and that he was going to come to them. Oh yes, he was going to put his words in their hearts and in their minds. And oh, he's going to walk with them and talk with them. And oh, yes, they were going to be his people. And God was going to be their God. All those things that they had declared and they couldn't understand in the former times. But oh, praise the Lord, what a moment that was when God poured it out that day of Pentecost, when all at once, oh yes, that sound from heaven came forth. Oh yes, God pouring out of his spirit. Oh, the cloven tongues like as a fire sitting upon each of them. And oh yes, the Holy Ghost came upon them and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonder that is when God takes our tongue. It's not of our doing. Oh my, we couldn't do it of ourselves. The Lord takes our tongue and all at once, praise the Lord, we're able to worship him in another tongue. Praise the Lord. Speak forth the wonderful words of God, the wonderful works of God likewise. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our wonderful God who brought it forth. But oh, what a marvel it is that need to be born again. And yes, I do want to just get another little verse in here from Psalms. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 87, I believe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, yes. Jesus had spoken to Nicodemus and told him of the need to be born again. And yes, then he told him about that wind that bloweth and that sound that would come thereof. And declared clearly that everyone that is born of the Spirit is going to be like a wind in that sense, that you can hear the sound of it. You're not going to know where it's coming from or where it's going, but you can hear the sound, just as we said, that sound, that cry when a baby enters into this world and breathes breath, its first breath, and praise the Lord, there's a cry. But so it is when we are born again of the water and of the Spirit. And here in Psalms 87, oh, praise the Lord, it says in verse 5, "And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her." Praise the Lord, that is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh yes, he was bringing forth a new birth, the second birth. Oh yes, so that it could be said of Zion, this and that man was born in her. Oh yes, they were receiving the new birth, the Spirit of the living God. And the highest himself shall establish her. Verse 6 here, Psalms 87, "The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there." Selah, praise the Lord. Oh, God's accounting system. Oh, yes, his records. Oh, when he writeth up the people. Were you born there? Were you born in Zion? Were you born again of the water and of the Spirit? Have you tasted of the wonderful words of life? Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Because, oh yes, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. Oh yes, when that day when all shall stand before the Lord and all the books are opened. Oh yes, is your name written on that book? Oh, is your name written there? Because it says the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, how we need the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that wonderful gift that he brings forth from heaven. Oh, yes, that mighty rushing wind that comes down, that breath of the Lord to come into our very being, so that we can be filled with the Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can go forth and do the wonderful works of God. Oh, praise the Lord. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, Peter was sent to the household of Cornelius. Of course, we've gone there many times, and we know that God had brought him in a miraculous way to this place, and Cornelius had been told in a miraculous way that he was going to send Peter to him, to tell him what he needed to do. And praise the Lord, Cornelius had waited for them, those that would come forth, and you know, he was busy. He had called his kinsmen and all his near friends to come and hear what Peter was going to tell them. Oh, praise the Lord. And what a moment it must have been as Peter got there. And, you know, at first Cornelius' inclination was to fall down at his feet and worship him. But Peter said, "Not so. Oh, stand up. I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, it tells us in verse 27, "And he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent, for I asked therefore what intent ye have sent for me." And Cornelius began to tell him in verse 30, "Four days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, Thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And of course, oh my, there's one surprise after another here. Tells us in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And he told them about Jesus Christ. Oh, the ministry that Jesus had brought forth. Praise the Lord. It says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And praise the Lord, here is this sermon that Peter was bringing forth. And to his amazement, here in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Verse 45 tells us, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. You know how they do? Praise the Lord, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Oh, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles just as it had fell on those that were gathered there together in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh, yes, oh, that message that Peter was bringing forth, it was interrupted because, oh, yes, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, to God to have such interruptions. Oh, yes. Oh, to see this again. Oh, yes. Because their hearts were repented and they were expecting the Lord to move in a mighty way. They had given their hearts over to the living God. And oh, yes, they were prepared to give their lives completely to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. In the midst of all of that, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Oh, yes. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Praise the Lord. And of course, then they were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they were asked to tarry with them certain days. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But what a marvel. Oh, yes. God's special spirit, the Comforter, falling upon his people. We know likewise in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts that the Holy Ghost fell likewise And here, if we look briefly here at this 19th chapter, tells us in verse 1, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, these people, oh yes, they had not heard before this moment that the Holy Ghost was now come down from heaven, that they could be recipients of the very Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, when they heard this good news, it tells us, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, there at the church, there with Cornelius, the people that had gathered together there, the Holy Ghost fell on them before Peter could even declare it. But in this case, they were baptized first in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I can just imagine as they came up out of the water, Paul laid his hands upon them. Praise the Lord. And it tells us clearly here in verse 6, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. Praise the Lord. We go down in the water. We die to our old self, to our old man. Oh, we die unto Jesus. We die to Jesus. But oh, yes, we rise to live unto Jesus. And praise the Lord as we come up out of that water. Oh, yes, then that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost pertains unto us. Praise the Lord, as Peter declared it on the day of Pentecost. Oh yes, when they asked that question, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter's answer there, the 38th chapter of the second chapter of Acts, 38th verse of the second chapter of the book of Acts, Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. And I know those that heard this message, oh yes, they gladly received that word, and they were baptized. It says the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You know, and I have a feeling as they came up out of the water, praise the Lord, I believe, oh yes, that the Holy Ghost came upon these people that were baptized there on this day of Pentecost. Those 3,000 souls, oh yes, if their hearts had been given over to the living God, I believe that the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Oh yes, just as it did there in the household of Cornelius there. Oh, just as it did there at Ephesus, Lord, with all those that had been baptized unto John the Baptist. Believe the word that Paul spoke unto them. Oh, yes. And were gladly baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord. Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, praise the Lord. I do believe this Holy Ghost is just as much for us today as it was for them back then, the time that this scripture was written. Oh, praise the Lord, that Holy Ghost that Jesus has given away. Oh my, I remember many years ago I was working with a young woman. She was actually living at an apartment where my uncle and aunt lived. And praise the Lord, she came to church with me. Her name was Geraldine. Praise the Lord. And you know, it was a Sunday morning, and you know, I'm sure we'd heard a message about the need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, I encouraged her. We gave her a ride home, and I said to her, Geraldine, just believe that the Lord's going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost this night when we meet together again at church. Praise the Lord. When we came together that night, oh yes, after that message was preached, there was Geraldine there at the altar. Oh yes, hands lifted. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost came upon her. Oh yes, and she spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of the living God came upon her. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, I remember the day. And yes, I remember the day when my very best friend in high school came to church, she and her sister. Praise the Lord. And we were having revival services. Oh, they were good Baptists. But oh, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost baptism was preached that night. Oh yes, they came to the front. Oh yes. And praise the Lord, the evangelist laid her hands on my friends. And praise the Lord, oh, in no time they were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, Peter had declared that gift of the Holy Ghost was not only unto them that were assembled there, oh, there on the day of Pentecost. Oh no, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on to say, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord. He's still calling. Oh, he's still giving away the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Diane received the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Anna and Jane received the Holy Ghost. Oh, I remember. Oh, yes, how the Lord did that. Praise the Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is. Oh, yes. That promise. Oh, yes, they came forth 2,000 years ago, is still as real tonight as it was then. Oh, yes, our Heavenly Father is still pouring out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and how we need it. Oh, we need it just like they needed it before. We need it so that we can be witnesses. Oh, so that we can have power to overcome. Oh, yes, to live in victory, to go forth and to speak the wonderful words of life. Oh, yes, and to do the works that Jesus Christ began to do. Oh, yes, we may be on the tail end of this. He is going to come back, as he declared, he's going to come back. But praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost is still falling upon the people of the Lord who will believe and receive that promise. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the wonderful works of God are still going forth. Oh, praise the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Oh, praise the Lord, it's for us today. Oh, praise the Lord, our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. No respecter of person. Oh, it's not a gender thing. Oh, it's not a race issue. Oh, no, it's not a class type of thing. It's for whosoever will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Oh, will you raise your hands and praise the Lord? Will you believe Him? Oh, will you accept the promise of the Holy Ghost? Will you let Him fall upon you tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. He dwelleth in the praises of His people. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Our God comes down, oh yes, as the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, praise the Lord. He comes down, oh yes. Oh yes, putting His breath within our very being. His Spirit within our vessels. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would pour out of your Spirit. I pray that you would move here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that you would move upon your people, Lord. I pray that you would renew the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, that you would pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, praise the Lord if you've not received it. Oh, let the Holy Ghost fall. Believe in Him. Oh, yes, receive of His promise. Praise the Lord. Let the Holy Ghost fall upon you. With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people. Oh, yes, this is a rest wherewith the weary may rest. And this is the refreshing. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Fall upon your people, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, God. Fall fresh upon us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals to number 7 and sing Let the Holy Ghost Come In, number 7.
The fire of God.
God, to fill your soul. Burn up all the dross and sanctify the whole. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Do you want the power to make you true and brave, so that you can rescue those that Christ would save? Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Praise the Lord. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.